get these things on here.
It is 7:07 on a Friday morning, and we want to welcome back to Heartfelt Radio our friend, Pastor Tom Repke from Linden Road Presbyterian. Thomas?
Mark? Gabe? Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor.
I can't say it. Happy Friday, right?
There you go. See? You're like me. I don't try and do all that.
For the last few weeks, we have been talking on this program about people walking up driveways, wrong address, and somebody comes out shooting.
Right.
Stepping into a car that maybe looks like a car that they were supposed to step into, but they weren't. And somebody gets shot. A basketball rolling into a driveway, setting off a motion detector, and a guy comes out shooting, and children get injured. We are in a culture of fear here in the United States. And I don't know if we really need to spend some time on talking about how we got here. Maybe we do. But I sure know we need to spend some time not only talking about what do we do as believers in Christ, and anybody doubt we have a mission field here in the United States?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well,
glad you're here.
Yeah, well, I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, that's confidence.
No,
right there.
But just the idea, because I'm trying to walk through this, so it's interesting.
Yeah, we all are, yeah.
I mean, you think, you know, we celebrated the Resurrection Sunday, you know, and on Good Friday, one of the things that happens is that there's this earthquake that takes place, right?
Right, after Jesus dies
right. On
the cross.
And I think that shaking of the earth then is the same kind of shaking that we've been experiencing again. I mean, it's like, I even wonder, after having gone through, you know, 2 years of lockdown and all that, you know, what have we learned? Because in one sense, where we're going to end up is, to give you the, you know, spoil at the end of our conversation, is it's about our intimacy with Jesus and where we put our trust. And so part of it is, as we were talking, you know, before we came on, is this idea of just the season we've been in. So you've got 80-year-old people, who, 80-year-old man who isn't quite sure what to do. But, I just wonder the trauma, because I think I'm not a counselor, but I've walked with enough people to know this thing of trauma is part of our life right now. And I don't think we've processed through that. And I've talked to professionals about this, and they go, yep, we haven't even touched the surface of this in terms of dealing with it. And so these kinds of things are the end result. I mean,
so in other words, the person who walks out on their porch with that weapon in the last 2 years may have been completely isolated from family.
Right.
May have lost a spouse.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
May have suffered significant family trauma in other areas. And this is the response, and maybe have been exposed to media sources that have been stoking the flames of fear.
Right.
Yeah. And the response we're surprised about?
Right. And really, when we start all these things, you know, we almost want to stop and pause.
Right.
And just say, Jesus, we give it to you. All this stuff, because it's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about it as I was listening to you on the way up, the thought of the day. I mean, this contentment, where do we find, because it's interesting, I was listening to a podcast from Lewis Howe, who's a former NFL player, who's got the most popular podcast right now on the internet. It's interesting. But he was just talking about how when you squeeze an orange, what do you get?
Orange juice.
All right. When you squeeze a human being, what do you get? Well, you get what that person focuses on.
Oh,
all right. So when and then just to add to it, just as I'm thinking about, because this is not a linear conversation, it's just the way my mind bubbles have been working. So Google has a new app called Bard, and it's their AI app. And it's a beta, and I got an invite into it. So last night, as I was thinking about this, I went to Bard and said, you know, what are the reasons why there's so much fear right now in America?
So you asked the computer.
You asked the robot?
Yeah. And here's what's interesting.
Oh, man.
Here's what's interesting.
Oh, man.
The rise of social media.
Mm. Okay.
The 24-hour news cycle.
Okay.
The political climate.
Yeah.
The economic situation.
Yep, 4 for 4.
And I thought this was funny. The last one is the rise of technology, including AI.
Exactly.
So the very way I got this information is from part of our problem.
5 for 5,
yep.
And very interesting, but not surprising,
right?
that Bard would answer with answers that have nothing to do with spirituality.
Right.
In any way.
Right.
Can I go back to the squeeze?
Yeah.
Yeah, because we got a lot to talk. You're unloading a lot on us here in these first few minutes. So you're giving us plenty to talk.
This might be a therapy session for me because I've been thinking through these things a lot.
Okay.
So thank you.
Well, I kind of figured this was on
we
your
all
mind,
need
too.
This therapy.
So, yeah, you squeeze the orange, you get orange juice. You squeeze the human. Is it any wonder if you squeeze a human that doesn't have Jesus in their heart, you're going to get something coming out of that human that is probably not going to be a godly response.
Right.
But if you squeeze a believer, you're going to get Jesus.
Well, you should.
You should.
Right. But it's interesting. Even the music. So I loved it. Thanks for Twyla Paris. That's one of Melinda's favorite. Mm-hmm. You know, bring us back to the 80s. But that song about the warrior as a child. And just listening to that and those words there. And that's why music is so important. So thank you, Heartfelt, for the things that you lead us into. Even with your 10,000, you know, music library, we still haven't tapped. Mm-hmm. Because music meets our soul in these moments. And so that's part of the journey. Now, we need to be reminded, Jesus says in John 16:33, you know, this idea that he says, I've told you these things, you know, so pay attention. My friends, the things are coming, but you need to also be reminded, take heart, because I've overcome the world.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So do we believe that? So when we get squeezed, do we really believe that? That's the tension.
And unless we believe it, there's no way we can share it.
Right.
And then help others to get through it.
Right.
Yeah.
Because go ahead.
Oh, I want to go back to the trauma.
Yes.
Because I think you really hit on it, because I've been really confused this past week. Like, what is going on? I mean, that's all you can really ask,
right.
You know? But I think you definitely hit on that because, as you said, Mark, the one maybe was isolation, maybe that, you know, there's so many different things. But the one situation, you know, where the cheerleaders got in the wrong car.
Right.
And they were even apologizing.
Right.
And he still shot them.
Right.
So that in itself shows there was something, it had nothing to do with those cheerleaders. He had no idea they were coming into his car.
Right.
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 So he had some kind of trauma.
Right.
To shoot them when he knows they got in the wrong car. They apologized for getting in the wrong car. And yet you shoot them anyway.
Right. And
that was something else going on.
Right. And so, I don't want to go too far into this, but we've talked. And I just want to touch on, you know, what just happened here, you know, in terms of the police and Akron and the whole thing with Jalen. I mean, you shared, I was actually here, I think, the day that after that happened, and you shared. But the thing I haven't heard anybody talk about is the fact that this young man was processing a traumatic death of his soon-to-be wife. And he didn't know how to process that.
And what a disappointment that would be for him.
Oh, disappointment. Her. Oh, my goodness. I mean, the brokenness. Yeah. And so here you've got a kid and just forget what happened in one sense. It's like, I mean, I don't want to because we need to be paused by that. But really go to the fact, where was the community around him? Where was his family? Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, and I don't want to bring judgment there. It's just like, this is messy stuff. And when we're working through this stuff, we don't quite know how to process it.
And that is a great point because at that particular moment, that young man needed somebody who knew Jesus to be walking beside him.
Right. Without judgment and without telling him, here's how you fix yourself. It's just, dude, I love you.
And again, I ask the question, you think we're not in a mission field?
Well, we are.
Right here, right where we are?
Yeah. Right.
We are immersed in it. It's surrounding us. All we have to do is, I don't know, knock on the door of the house next door. Of course, we'd want to be careful about that now, right?
Right. Well, that's
You know, I'm not joking, but the idea is we need, I was thinking about this too in regards to our neighbors.
Right.
Our neighborhood, we're more rural than suburban even, I would guess. But our neighborhood has changed over. It has, you know, rolled through a generation and we have new families, new kids. There's new life in the neighborhood. And I think part of that is not only, you know, our responsibility as those who witness for Christ, it's not just the fact that we are salt and light in our family, but we need to be aware of what's going on around us.
Right.
And we just look at some of these new families that love to be out taking walks, you know, and we're just smiling, you know, at all the kids now back in our neighborhood when they had disappeared for almost a decade, you know. And so we're kind of in that season again where we have sounds in the neighborhood that are good sounds.
Right.
Yeah.
Beautiful
good sounds to have. And beautiful sounds, and we just need to be aware. Part of our responsibility as believers is to be aware of what surrounds us.
Right, but also to ground ourselves. It's about this big word, right. Presuppositions, right? Mm-hmm. What do we presuppose when we hear something, right? So our faith and the idea, go back to John 16:33 or Matthew 5, it's like Jesus said, okay, people, pay attention. This is coming. Mm-hmm. So your groundedness in me matters more than anything else. Mm-hmm. And if you're grounded in me, you know, the whole story of the vine, right?
Right. Yeah.
If you're grounded in me, then you will be able to minister to yourself in the midst of the trauma. Because I'm going to guess this guy, you know, that shot the young man, you know, as he came to his door because he had the wrong
porch,
address,
yeah.
He saw a 6 foot tall man of color standing in front of him. And, you know, there's fear. Shouldn't
right.
be.
But shouldn't be.
But it is. And it is because we've come through this season. And I don't want to get too drippy into the whole therapeutic, but I think there's something in that we need. And Jesus is the ultimate healer, right? But
right.
I also think there's these things that we're leaning into that are, you know, have we not learned? You know, we just went through all sorts of messiness. When you listen to the list from Bard, it's, you know, we just went through a season of mm-hmm. you know, pandemic, we went through economic, we went through political, all these tensions, and it's like almost, did we not learn anything in that? And we're right back at it again because our hope is in something that isn't grounded in who Jesus is.
Yeah. We're spending time with our friend Tom Repke this morning. Pastor Tom here with us on a regular basis. He'll be back for a Bible study coming up in a few weeks. Andre says, variably cloudy today, afternoon showers and thunderstorms moving in, still warm for this time of year. 73, 58 right now as we continue our conversation here about these last few weeks and what in the world is going on with the culture of fear here in the United States.
Right, and let's just jump into where I want us to center ourselves this morning is Psalm 16.
Okay.
I mean, the Psalms are such a great book. Mm-hmm. We talked about this. You asked what book you would take on it if you only had one book.
Yeah.
You talked about it on Wednesday with the pastor and reminded us. It's like Psalms.
That's what you would take too?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
So could I read for us
Please.
A little bit?
Yeah.
Where do you want to go?
The whole chapter.
The whole chapter,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, 11 verses. Okay, yeah. Why don't I do like the first 5 or 6 and then Gabe, you finish Psalm 16.
Sure.
This is David writing. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out, or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance.
I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful ones see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, verse 8, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And yet, you know, you just read that list for us, produced by a computer.
Right.
Of 5 things that shook us as a society. And any one of those, I mean, when you really get down to it, any one of the 5 things on that list could shake someone who has even a little bit of faith.
Right.
So we've got to stand. And that's hard. And I don't know, resources have been cut off. Our ability to gather together as believers and encourage one another, cut off. I mean, here we're coming out of it. Yeah.
Well,
it's good.
And let's be reminded, we have an enemy.
Mm-hmm. Who is looking to take us down in
right.
a second.
A friend in ministry, Alan Arnold, wrote a book in the middle of the pandemic called Chaos Can't. And he really believes that we're living in a season where the evil one is just trying to create as much chaos as he could possibly create.
Oh, yeah.
Good word.
Chaos. Yeah, and we know we're in the middle of it, right? We know that we're in the end times. We've been in the end times for a while, but it's still, you know, it's getting closer, whenever that might be. And so how we live our lives is really important, but it's got to be grounded in the right things. Mm-hmm. And so David gives us, you know, this model, this foundation, this firm understanding that it is grounded in the Lord because he's at my right hand. And I think partly, too, as we think about this, that too many of us have been thinking about, we just want relief. Like, really, Lord? But what we need is restoration.
Okay.
All right. Relief.
So we might be asking God for the wrong thing.
Absolutely. Because we would think it's the next vacation. Can't wait till it comes. Right? No. It's about groundedness in Jesus. Or can't wait for the next bike ride. Well, bring some energy and some delight as we go out, because David talks about the beauty of the world that he's walking in, but it's not about that. It's about my groundedness in Jesus.
And you can be grounded in Jesus as you do those things,
right?
You can do that on vacation. You can
right.
I know when you go on your bike rides, you're listening to us sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Well, here's my question. Where does wisdom come in to this whole scenario? Because we do have, you know, we have to be grounded. Absolutely, number one. But we have to be wise in what we're doing, right?
Right.
Because, I mean, these are called wrong place shootings and wrong time shootings. You know, that's what they're calling these.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right,
like
now.
Gabe said earlier in the program this morning, they've already given it
they've
a name.
They've already given it a name in a week.
It's in already a got a name.
But that's because it's a 24-hour news cycle.
Oh, right.
Right. So we got it.
It's been going. This has been happening so consistent. It's been this last past week has just been.
But it's
ridiculous.
Not just shootings. It's just the way we turn right now. I mean, I think we're softer today in some sense. Our resilience, you know, as a culture. That we go out and buy a gun. Well, okay, thank you. You know, that's a good thing. You know, I mean, it's can be helpful. And you know, and I know of guys who go to the shooting range and it's a way for them. Like, I ride my bike, they
right.
go shoot. It's
right.
like, okay, that's not how I'm going to spend my time. Mm-hmm. But I think there's this disconnect. And again, it's because we're looking for this relief. And so the wisdom comes. It's like, no, it's not. Don't put our hope in the vacation. Don't put our hope in, you know, binge watching something on Netflix, although that's kind of fun in the moment. It's mindless.
Right.
But see, it used to be wrong place used to be the mall, the grocery store, maybe the bank. You know, all these things can happen. You know, the bank can get robbed while you're in there. There can be a shooting. Wrong place has now come to homes.
Front porch.
Front porch for the little girl whose basketball rolled into the neighbor's yard. So, you know what I mean? It's just completely changed. That changes the scenario. Because that means for me, when my grandkids come over, now I feel a little different. Except I know who my neighbors are.
Right.
So it's a little different.
Right.
But if another neighbor moved in, now I'm a little worried about my own grandkids playing out front. Because what if something like that happened? You know? So that kind of puts a different spin on it for me. Because our wrong places are now at home. And that's where I wonder about the wisdom part. And maybe just making some adjustments to how we think. Because we aren't neighborly like we used to be.
Right.
So we're circling back now to the idea that you've been trying to give us here in these last few minutes. Ain't about relief. It's about restoration.
Right. And it's about a presupposition.
Right.
So even asking ourselves the questions, when that angst comes up, whatever it is, you know, Jesus, where are you at in that? And that's something mm-hmm. I'm learning. I mean, I haven't learned it yet well enough, but in those moments, so even like, you know, a couple weeks ago before the shootings, it was, you know, the banks were caught crashing, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Really?
In California.
God, yeah. Really? Sweden. I mean, the banks in Sweden, there was one that actually collapsed there. And it's like, that's a pretty tame country, but it's like, I don't know what's going on, but it's like one more thing, and it's part of this chaotic mindset. So again, we go back to this big word, I learned in seminary, presuppositions. What do I presuppose about these circumstances? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we go back to David.
Okay. Psalm 16.
Right. Verse 8. Mm-hmm. It's like we're going to circle that, circle it, circle it, circle it. I keep my eyes always
on the Lord.
How long? How often?
Always.
Always. Always. Always. Always.
Mm-hmm. Always.
Always on the Lord.
And but I don't.
Right, I know. That's the tension. That's the tension, right?
I know.
That's the part we have to work on, I think.
Right. And we do it together. And so we encourage each other. And mm-hmm. so I love it that you call an audible. And I'm sitting at home doing my devotion yesterday. And I get a text message from Mark mm-hmm. that says, hey, what
we
are you
need
doing?
To talk about this.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah. And I don't have an answer other than I know Jesus does. And I think that's my encouragement. If I go back and try to pull a thread out of all of our conversations, it seems like it always goes back to this idea that if I'm walking with Jesus, and I have an intimate relationship with him, not that it's going to fix everything, mm-hmm. because I do think there's, you know, the trauma and all these other things. You got to go to the doctor when you're sick, you know, take a aspirin when you got a headache. I mean, there's these things, but it's still, it's that intimacy and that relationship, because David tells us, I will keep my eyes.
Always.
Always. And so when I get squeezed,
uh-huh.
right?
Right.
What comes out? Well, if I'm dealing with frustration and anger and, mm-hmm. and disappointment and bitterness, what's going to come out? Well, we see this. I think. I mean, I see it. I you know, I go in. I work with some at-risk. I even asked one of my boys yesterday. We went out for breakfast and before school, and I said, "I'm going to be on the because you had just texted me." And it's like, I'm just wondering, what do you think's going on? He just says, "People don't know people."
Ooh, how old is this young man?
He's 13.
13.
What else did he say? I like learning from children.
13.
I mean, they're smart.
Well, he just said people just don't know people. They don't know each other's stories.
He gets
it.
Oh,
my goodness. Yeah.
He gets
he does
it.
Right. And so that's even in our conversation. Jesus reminds us that our faith is supposed to be like that of a child.
Mm-hmm.
Because we get so wrapped up.
Yeah.
Right. So again, you know, a theme is this idea. We got to walk away from finding relief and finding restoration. Because there is a story before the fall that God invited us into, this understanding of being fully wholehearted, right, in whom God has called us to be as sons and daughters. And if we live into our wholeheartedness, then our neighbors are going to, I mean, and it's that tension because there is that risk. Don't know who the new person is across the street, right? Not sure if I want to know. And then it's messy because they may not think like I do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because even this morning, as I was getting up, the Economist has a story about looking at America, that America is much less religious. You know, from 1972, 90% of Americans said they were Christian. And today
in 50 years.
Yeah, it's now 60%.
Yeah. You have removed one third of the spiritual bulwark.
Right.
In the country.
And we call that, in you know, that big, there's this idea of grace. We call that common grace, right?
Yeah.
This idea that because of the way we're wired and the generosity and kindness and the way we see ourselves as individuals, we all share in that. We're not as bad as we could be. But I think it's mm-hmm. because we've lost the salt and the flavor of that into our culture. And it's because we're not walking with Jesus. We're not, you know, doing the
We're going to hold that right there. We have talked with Pastor Tom Repke for about 25 minutes now about why we have this culture of fear in the United States. We're going to start taking some practical steps in this final segment coming up in just a couple of moments. Andre's forecast in 30 seconds, then right back to the conversation. My name's Mark.
My name's Gabe.
And his name is Tom Repke.
It is. Good morning.
Yeah.
Good morning,
Pastor Tom is with us this morning as we talk through some of and hopefully begin to dive into and hang on to some things that are going to help us with this culture of fear that has kind of wrapped up the United States in the last few weeks, last couple months. Thanks for being with us. We're going to try to dig into some answers and some steps we can take as believers to counter the culture of fear mm-hmm. coming up.
Yeah, so we've been talking about these wrong place shootings and wrong time shootings that have basically plagued the United States this last past week. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, trying to come to some kind of resolution. I know one thing that we know is none of us have the answer.
Right.
We don't have the answer. But we do have the Holy Spirit to guide us as we're here, we looked at John 16:33, you know, where it tells us, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So what can we do, Pastor, as far as you said, we need to lean in to be grounded in the word, grounded in the Lord. But the Holy Spirit does guide us, right? Do we need to work more at tapping into that intuition and just looking at the wisdom part and just kind of putting that all together? Because we still have to make good decisions, right?
Right. But again, it's that idea when we get squeezed. So, mm-hmm. you know, what's in us? And so I would suggest that what we do with our time, right?
Right.
So mm-hmm. maybe not binge watching Netflix, mm-hmm. but maybe reading a good book. Maybe reading the good book, right? Spending right. time. So maybe your morning prayers.
News sources that stoke fear.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately we keep coming back to Jesus is our everything. Mm-hmm. And David sort of underscores that. Mm-hmm. And so what we put into ourselves is really important. So thinking about what you watch and what goes through your ears into your head and your heart can, you know, that. So managing that better.
But there, exactly. And there, do you ever hear the voice? It's not an actual voice, but let's say as I'm seeing all this happening on television, and day after day, these wrong place things are happening. And then I think, you know, yeah, that's probably why I'm staying in a little more.
Right.
Now, it doesn't mean I'm scared. I'm not scared.
Right.
But if that voice tells me that maybe I should do that, should I listen?
Well, what do you think?
I think, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, part of it is doing other things. You know, I mean, so if you're sitting in front of the TV, you're not engaging with your neighbor or your grandkids,
mm-hmm.
right? So turn the TV off. It's mm-hmm. okay. There's an on-off button. It's real easy, mm-hmm. right? And it's about, you know, really developing rhythms. So, you know, how do you start your day? Mm-hmm. You know, are you reading the scripture? How do you tune in every Wednesday mm-hmm. at 7:06 and listen to, you know, some thoughtful words from a local pastor?
Maybe
you know,
starting the day asking for guidance.
Absolutely. And actually taking a pause, just hitting the stop button as you're, you know, sort of rolling along and just say, Jesus, I need you. Mm-hmm. I need you, as David reminds me, to be my right hand, right? I'm going to put my phone down mm-hmm. and my right hand is going to be just hearing you and really forcing those kinds of rhythms. Because I think part of it is, as Bard told us, I mean, we're just way too connected. And I think it's that relief. And so we run right back to it, as opposed to what restores us, right? What is it that engages us? Well, part of it might be taking a walk, right? To go out mm-hmm. in nature and just sitting on the back porch with a cup of coffee mm-hmm. and just watching the birds. I mean,
one of the things I really worry about is people that have children at home right now, children in school.
Right.
Because, you know, it's not like for me, I have to worry about me, but they got to worry about these kids not only going to school every day, and that is its own issue,
right?
Because you never know what's going to happen at the school. But then when those kids want to go to their friend's house, or, you know what I mean? Those are other issues.
Yeah.
We already worried about right. it. Now we got these, you know, like the cheerleaders, they were all getting ready to go wherever they were going. Right. Well, now your cheerleader just got shot. Because she made a mistake.
Right.
I've gotten in two wrong cars in my life.
Yes.
One of them, a person was in it.
Right.
And they looked at me and I looked at them. You know, and the other one was at a, what is that, when you're on the highway, when you get off the rest area.
Yes.
And, and the big ones, the big rest areas with the restaurants and stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, nobody was in that car. Thank goodness. But it was the same car as mine. Right. So it opened.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, wow.
So it's like when you have children at home and children in school, they also have them to worry about.
Right. And I can tell you in my conversations, because I go into the schools, I've talked to two different schools, and they're trying to figure this thing out. I mean, yeah. There's all sorts of other things we could talk about this morning. It just seems like it's blown up.
Right.
Like the whole identity thing. Who am I?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the whole transitioning mm-hmm. thing, mm-hmm. all that. And that's, you know, that to me is a direct response to the evil one just trying to create chaos, because we have this word. You're holding it, Mark. Gabe, you're looking at it online. I've got it in front of me. It's very clear about what God's word says to us. And again, go back to that verse, but, you know, one more time, circle it. You know, Jesus says, or David says, I keep my eyes always on the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Well, always, we try, right? And it means when we, you know, that's just the human journey. It's like, it isn't always. you know, we want it to be always, but it's no, there's something that comes. And it's when that something that comes, it's like, no, I need to put a pause and go back and center myself.
I always talk about the fact that Jesus always refers to us as sheep. He also refers to us as children.
Yes.
My granddaughter's world is getting bigger.
Right.
She's now 2 years and 2 months old, and she doesn't want to stay in the yard anymore.
Uh-oh.
When she's at her house, she wants to go for real walks.
Oh. And absolutely.
Go walk on the street.
Yes.
And so we have a rule that when a car is coming down the street, she must grab for the closest grown-up's hand.
Got it. Mm.
And therein is our sermon for the day.
Yes.
As danger, potential danger approaches, we reach for the hand that is going to be there for us.
Right. And it's the right hand.
Exactly. You know, and you were talking about Matthew 7. You're talking, and of course, we've been talking about Psalm 16. But, you know, I keep going back to John 16:33, which you also pointed out for us this morning. Grace has been a big word, and mercy. But boy, right now, the biblical meaning of the word peace has never been more important, I think. I have said these things to you, Jesus said, that in me, you have peace.
Yeah.
In me.
Mm-hmm.
In nothing else. He didn't make a list. He just said that in me, you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world with a kind of peace that doesn't exist anywhere else.
Right. And so where do we go for our relief?
Right.
Right. We go for the good dinner.
Yeah.
Our,
no, we got to grab for the hand.
Right. And that, I understand that. I mean,
yeah.
We're human.
Got to grab for the hand.
It's all that. But we also need to be reminded, too, we need to live as the children that we are.
Amen.
Right. As citizens of the kingdom.
Right.
And that's part of it. It just really, and again, it's that presupposition, that big word. You know,
mm-hmm.
What do I presuppose in those moments? I mean, you just think about, we talked, you know, I went to Asbury, and man, revival's coming, right? No, not like it was, partly because even the kids there said, we can't sustain this,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
We're running out of toilet paper. Somebody needs to clean the restroom. Try. It's just like, it was a beautiful thing while it lasted, but I think, you know, and we just want it, you know, we want it for the sake of revival. And it's not that. It's, you know, it's really about intimacy with God. So it's kind of going back to that core idea that David wants us to see. It's that when we're walking in that and our hand is in our Lord's hand, physically, emotionally, spiritually, then we can lean into trusting that when our kids go to the new neighbor across the street, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not bad things aren't going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we don't want to worry about every little thing. But I do like the Mark's example of what they're doing with his granddaughter, because that's another thing I think sometimes as Christians, because we do want to do the right thing, you know, and we also have those expectations for our kids. But our kids can get into situations that they don't want to call us about.
Mm-hmm.
I am a preacher's daughter. I know this. When you get in certain situations,
yeah.
You do not want to call the parents. But that might be a new conversation that our parents need to have.
Right.
So those
right.
kids understand, I don't care what it is or how small. If your intuition tells you this, call me. Don't worry about getting in trouble. You need to call me.
Right.
Because, you know, that'll get us in trouble sometimes. We
right.
need to grab for that hand.
And that's a great example of our Heavenly Father.
Absolutely.
Right.
And we're going to grab on him.
Right.
But our kids, and tell them why.
Right.
Because and go over these situations.
Well, and I think too many times that's part of parenting, right? That's a whole other conversation, this idea. You know, too many times we just say, do it because I told you.
Right.
It's
right.
like, no. You got to tell them why.
Mm-hmm.
So now, right now, Emmy can't understand necessarily why when the car's coming. She doesn't.
Right.
But there's a point where, because you want her to feel confident in that, not to be scared every time a car comes at, you know,
mm-hmm.
to understand, no, this is about safety. It's
mm-hmm.
about just being a good
mm-hmm.
adult and showing concern to the other person, hoping that they're going to pass right and not, you know, I mean, that's
right.
It's always those things.
Yeah. This is quite a situation. And like I said, I feel very much for people who have children
mm-hmm.
at home, because they are worried, I'm sure, you know, and you have, it's like we have to have some more different conversations, I think.
Right.
Right. But it's grounded in, you know, just sort of takeaway. It's our morning prayer time.
Okay.
Absolutely.
It's about reading the scriptures on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And I've really struggled. I'll just confess. I use the Bible app and it tells me every day, you know, and I get a star if I read the word of the day.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to do Nikki Gumbel's Bible in a Year. And I'm on my sixth way through it, you know, and it's like I'm really struggling this year just because there's all these demands, it seems like, that interrupt my morning routine that mm-hmm. take me away. So yesterday, thankfully, I got caught up. I was 3 days behind. And not that okay. it's about, but it's just this idea of rhythm and, you know, consistency. And, you know, it's like if I don't start my day that way. And then I even think that the idea of leaning into worship. You know, the idea of just listening to, and don't listen to the news, you know, take a moment, and we all have smart devices, say to Alexa or, you know, Google, you know, play, you know, a worship spot, you know, off of mm-hmm. Spotify.
I think you got to use a lot of discernment with the news, because even, you know, with what was going on here in Akron, before it even happened, it's like, oh, let's board up everything. Oh, let's protect. Mm-hmm. You know, as if this big, huge catastrophe was going to happen. And now we were watching it. Even Mark said, he's like, "What? They keep putting it on the news."
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? And that makes well, you fear, fear, that, fear. And they're putting fear in people.
And then Gabe on the air said, but do you notice where all of these protest marches are originating from? Mm-hmm. Churches.
Mm-hmm.
The church is behind the movement in a lot of ways, and they, if they are Bible believing churches, are projecting peace
and all, but all the news was
into
showing
the situation
and right. not and we need I like the news, but
board it up
in that case in yep. that situation, yeah, they were just showing like protect yourselves,
right? Because that's
protect,
what sells
protect
right,
you know,
right.
And then, you know, even with the protests that did, you know, a few windows did get broken. You know, that
they focused on the broken windows.
They focused on the broken windows. But according to the personal videos that people had, that didn't happen until they got maced. They started macing the peaceful protesters. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you're putting all this fear out here and making people, you know, it's just we have to have discernment about what we're watching.
Right.
Because we're only seeing a piece of what's going on.
Well, here we go.
Yeah.
Just like Wednesday with Bible study.
I know.
The clock now has decided it is our enemy and not our friend.
Too much going on.
We need to come up with a couple of things that we can walk away with here that are going to help us combat the climate of fear.
Well, I've already said, it's about your morning prayers.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So,
are you prayer, in that rhythm? Are
your
you,
prayer life?
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be 28 minutes. I mean, just take a moment.
Martin Luther went 2 hours.
Yeah, I know. Well,
yeah, I know. Okay.
Well, but then also morning prayer. I always try and start out because if I take care of that prayer in the morning, I don't have those worries. Right. I don't have that heaviness during the day.
And then reading the word, and there's all these apps out here. Invite someone in to read with you, right? You can, you know,
invite somebody to read with you.
Yeah. YouVersion. You can pick a Bible plan. I've got a guy, Phil, at the church. He's always inviting me to another plan. And it's like, dude,
I already got my own plan.
I got to trying to make it. But then you can have conversation. The app allows you to, you know, what do you think about? What's God telling you as you read the scripture? And I think don't do it by yourself. I mean, and then worship, right? Worship's important. So in those moments when you want to binge watch Netflix, you know.
Live in his peace.
Right.
Because he promises in John 16 that if we're going to live in that peace, there's going to be something good coming out of it.
Right. And so we make Jesus our everything. And so even again, David, back to Psalm 16, one more time, I keep my eyes. My eyes are focused on him. Always, he says, on the Lord. And with him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Mm-hmm. So it's that rhythm and those practices. And then I think even through the course of the day, you just have to, you know, put it on your calendar.
There we go.
John Eldridge actually has an app called the Pause app that's free and downloadable. And it's this idea. It forces you twice a day just to reflect.
Mm. Pause.
Pause. Just 1 minute. It's like, just Jesus, I invite you in. Help me reconnect to who I'm supposed to be in this moment as your son, but also as a father and as a husband and as a pastor, you know, in my case. And to force that rhythm, because I think that's part of it too. We're so busy. Right. Mm-hmm. Even though we sort of got unbusy, we were busy before 2020. And I think we've just gone right back because we're looking for relief. And really what we need is restoration. And that restoration is going to come through intimacy with Christ.
Can you pray us today, Thomas, into combating that spirit of fear?
I will. Yeah. And I'm just going to draw on David.
Okay.
Father, we are grateful for this book of Psalms, but in particular this morning as we've leaned into this dialogue, is trying to understand, we want to be your sons and daughters. And so as David says, we say that I will keep my eyes always on you, Lord, and that we know that with you at our right hand, we're not going to be shaken. And so we're grateful that you've promised us these things, and we pray through your Holy Spirit that all of us can be encouraged to lean into the day and then to offer that same peace and hope to those around us, because there's a hurting world that just needs to know what we have, the hope that we have. And so let us be faithful in that. And thank you for the restoration that you've given us as your sons and daughters, and allow us to restore the world to that which you're calling it to be, that your kingdom would come. And we pray it in your strong name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Real quick, if people want to access maybe some of the apps that might help them focus a little bit that you were talking about, can you tell them where to go hunting for those apps?
Yeah.
Who to hunt for?
Look at the Pause app by John Eldridge, Wild at Heart. I think YouVersion. I just saw that their kids' version is 100 million downloads. It's crazy. Amazing app. It's for kids. So if Emmy's not using it, she should be on her tablet.
There's a kids' YouVersion?
Yeah, there is.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So YouVersion is just, I think it's a gift. It's free, and I have so much fun with it, with our folks. If and when I leave the church and go, do something else, my legacy will be the fact that my people are reading God's word every day. And I take
Amen.
So much.
Amen.
That's just a good thing, because it's not about me. It's about him. And if we're in the word, the details will take care of itself.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because it's not politics. It's not anything. It's not money. It's Jesus and walking with him. And so, yeah, the Pause app, I think, is critical. And I also think, just being in the word and have some fun with YouVersion. I mean, YouVersion, you get badges. They've started this new thing with prayer that if you stay in, I was having trouble not getting beyond day 7. I'm actually up to, I think, day 56 now. I feel like got my little star. It's like,
good job.
Yeah, thank you.
You did good.
Jesus said it.
Yep.
In me, you may have peace.
Yep. So blessings.
Thank you, Thomas.
Thank
Thanks
you,
for helping
Mark
us
and Dave.
Just kind of talk through it.
Grateful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Blessings on the day.
Mm-hmm.
And to you.
All right.
We're going to check Andre's forecast in 60 seconds.
When my daughters were very young, we had a weekly father-daughter time.
Wow. Yeah, check out the kids app.
All they
I
okay.
I just saw
100 million downloads. That's crazy.
Wow.